Amid all the uncertainties of our times and the great national and international struggles we are in, they're causing men to wonder what is coming next. Oh, how we ought to thank God for that which is certain and stable in these times, that which never fails. And what is that, do you ask? It is His blessed holy word. As we've been singing, God's word is indeed wonderful, perfect, and true. It is that which stands today, just as it has always withstood the attacks of the critics, the enemies of it, and it stands as the infallible guide and support of all who trust in it today. It is the same, and the word will abide forever. And the Lord Jesus Himself said, though heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. This is what God presents to us, beloved listener, for our faith to rest upon, that we might have peace in the midst of distress, that we might have certainty in the midst of doubt. Let me call your attention today to a man singled out for us in the Word of God. And this book was written for our instruction. The incidents that happened were for our learning. And in the 10th chapter of Acts, we read of a man by the name of Cornelius who found deliverance. He found peace and joy and certainty in the precious Word of God. This blessing came to him in his own home. God had His eye on him, and God wanted him to have the blessing that his heart desired. And God wants you to have the blessing that you long for and need. And isn't it a grand thing that God sends His message to you today right where you are in your home? It's the same word that was preached to Cornelius, that by the grace of God we wish to preach to you today. It is that which will tell you words whereby you might be saved. Listen, if you will, to the few words of the close of this address that Peter gave in Cornelius' house. In verse 42, he says, He, that is the Lord Jesus, commanded us, the apostles, to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He, Jesus, which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, that is, the living and the dead. To Him, that is, to Jesus, give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. It is this last verse that I would particularly draw your attention to today. I believe that there are many like Cornelius who are concerned about the need of their soul. Notice this man, if you will, for a moment, what his character was. Now, he was not a heathen man in the sense of being a worshiper of idols. He recognized that there was one God, and he had been brought by the Jewish religion to acknowledge this. But you know, he earnestly wanted to know Him. And you will read also that he was sincere. He prayed to this God. And he had a need in his heart. And he was sincere in that he gave alms to the people. So there was nothing hypocritical about him at all. He was one who had a real need and knew it. You notice, too, that he was a Roman soldier. He held an office of centurion. That is, he had 100 men under him. He knew what it was to enforce strict military discipline. He knew what it was to command men, to have them obey. And yet, he knew what it was to have a heart and conscience that was not satisfied. He had a longing for forgiveness, a longing for peace and certainty. He had seen the follies of the idols, the heathen all around him. He'd seen, too, the emptiness of vain, formal Jewish religion. But you know, God, I believe, and have no doubt about it at all, had seen to it that he had had a testimony from at least two fellow centurions. One of them, you recall, during the time of our Lord's ministry here on earth, sent to Jesus in connection with a servant that he had whom he loved who was sick. And he said that he wasn't worthy that the Lord Jesus should come to his house, but if he would just speak the word, that his servant would be healed. What an amazing example of faith, and the Lord Jesus speaks of it as that. For he said he had never seen so great faith, no, not in Israel. Could Cornelius have known this centurion? It is very possible. And then think of another centurion who stood by the cross when our Savior died, who had heard the words from the cross and had seen the triumph of a Savior lifting his voice, saying, "It is finished," and then bowing his head in death. The centurion gave testimony which stands on divine record today, "Truly, this was the Son of God." I have no doubt that God saw to it that the testimony concerning the Lord Jesus and these two witnesses is what brought Cornelius to his knees to seek this God. For he saw in what he heard of him one who could meet his need, who could speak with authority. He's the one that he desired to know. And as I said, God had his eye on him, and God knows this. When anyone longs to know him, God is the one who is right there to see that he receives the knowledge that will bring him peace and certainty. He stirred up Cornelius, and he also stirred up Peter. God had a workman to do this particular work of bringing blessing to the house and to Cornelius himself. I believe there are many like Cornelius today. Maybe my listener is one. You know, you perhaps feel like Cornelius that you have sinned and you know eternity is before you. You must give your account of yourself to God. But you do like to hear the Bible read, and you do read it. And you do like to hear about the Lord Jesus. And you know that he is the Savior. And yet, you do not have the confidence that claims him as your personal Savior. And if you were asked, perhaps, do you have the forgiveness of your sins? You would say, well, I don't know. And maybe add, nobody can know that. Well, now, perhaps you are just simply resting on your feelings then, or you are going by what some mere failing mortal man has told you. Or maybe you are going by what you say, our church teaches this and that, and so forth. Oh, my dear friend, will you not allow me to have you turn from all your feelings and from man to the Word of God alone? This is what brought Cornelius blessing, and this is what will bring you blessing too. God has spoken clearly and definitely in his word. And when it comes to the matter of peace and certainty, you're not going to have any peace of conscience. You're not going to have any certainty unless you possess and know that your sins are forgiven. Now, the question of sins is a question that is between you and God. Definitely. We read in Isaiah, your sins has separated you from God. What can you do to put them away? Not one thing. You perhaps have tried. You've prayed. Perhaps you've gone to take communion, you've been baptized, maybe you've joined yourself to a church, so to speak. And yet you know you have not conscience, that your sins are gone. You're still hoping and striving and continuing till the end, as you think. This is not the witness of God as to how your sins are forgiven. God would tell you, the one against whom you have sinned would tell you that he has done something to remove your sins. He has sent his only begotten Son to be the mediator between you and him. And there is only one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. A holy God and sinful men can only be brought together through the one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. And this blessed, beloved person is the theme of Peter's ministry. It was a very short sermon, but in it he presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who is Lord of all. And indeed he is. He's the one before whom every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. But he is the one who came in lowly grace, born into the world to be the Savior of sinners. And he proved who he was, the eternal Son of God, by what he did, the miracles he performed, gave witness to the fact that he was God the Son. And yet he was the one rejected by men, but the one who willingly died, giving his life as a substitute that sinners might be brought to God, shedding his blood that sins of men might be cleansed so that man could be brought to a holy God and stand in his presence. Well, he finished that work on the cross for you, beloved friend. And he rose again from the dead. And this is the receipt that the debt paid satisfied a holy God. And he lives today. And he has given command that the gospel message goes forth to all men. He commands that this message should be taught and preached, that you might know him whom to know is life eternal and possess the forgiveness of your sins. He is the judge of the living and the dead. That is, there's a time coming when he is going to judge the living nations. And there's a time coming in the end of time, in eternity, when the dead shall stand before him, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, he will cast into the lake of fire. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of those that accept him, but he will be the judge of all who reject him. But now notice, if you will, this verse again, one which spoke to the heart and conscience of Cornelius and brought him peace and joy through believing. He had his ears open for it, and it was just what he wanted to hear. How can my sins be forgiven? And he had followed along the message of Peter concerning the Lord Jesus and his death and burial and resurrection. And now he says to him, to Jesus, give all the prophets witness that through his name, Jesus, whosoever... And I fancy I can hear Cornelius saying, well, that would mean me. I don't have to be a Jew. This blessing is for me, a Gentile as well. Whosoever believeth in him, in Jesus, shall receive remission of sins. The words bore the stamp of the authority of God and the effect that they had in the heart and life of Cornelius and those in the house that day was clearly manifested. They were blessed through receiving the word of God by faith. Cornelius, first of all, had a sense of his need. God knew it. He longed for blessing, which nothing that he had tried could give him. God knew that, and he sent his word which is wonderful, perfect, and true. A word that warns, but a word that provides the necessary remedy for sin. My beloved listener, today God speaks to his word to you just as he did to Cornelius in that day. And I would draw your attention in closing to that wonderful verse which would give you the assurance of the forgiveness of your sins if you put yourself as one of the whosoevers. Believe in Jesus, not just simply about him, but accept him as the one who died for you, your substitute. And the Bible says, you shall receive the remission of your sins. With Paul, then the apostle, you can say, I know whom I have believed. With John, you can say, we know we have passed from death unto life. And John writes, that which he wants you to lay hold upon, the work of Christ is what makes you safe. The word of God is what will make you sure. As we read in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Eternal life and forgiveness of sins are two of the multitude of blessings that come to you when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Accept God's word that brings you this good news of salvation. And even though you're in the midst of uncertainty and doubt, you will receive the knowledge and assurance from God himself, who cannot lie. Rest on this, and you will be blessed for time and eternity, and praise him who has saved you forever.